I told him today that was happening. And taken by surprise. So we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We are, again, talking about how to be filled with His Spirit. Okay? And if you have no clue about the things that we've been talking about so far, I encourage you to go and listen to the messages that we have on our website about it. In a very real way, just because of the way our services unfold, every lesson is just like another step in it. So it's really one huge lesson broken up over a whole bunch of things. And it's a part of the series that we're talking about how to. At the end of the day, what Jesus did for us on the cross in His dying and then in His being resurrected and then in His being ascended to heaven and pouring out His Holy Spirit, this is practical. Okay? It's very easy, if we're not careful, to let the things of God that He has made available to us to just be religious in the sense of, yeah, it's something that adds a flavor to our life. And, you know, then we get on with our life as if all that is needed is, you know, just to have some good thoughts about God and things like that. I mean, when I put it that way, I don't think anybody would say, no, that's crazy. But what I'm trying to get across to you is, salvation is very, very practical. It's meant to make a difference in your practical life. Okay? He really is a rescuer. He really is a refuge. He really is a fortress. And Holy Spirit really has come to enable you to live a life that is impossible for a human to live. Okay? Now, I know that's all dramatic and grand, but it is just true. It just is. It's just true, you know. Particularly on Easter Sunday, you know, as we've done, we often sing songs that have to do with the resurrection. He's alive, you know. And I don't know if you've heard recordings online about, you know, music videos and things like that. Usually, at the point in the song where they say, you know, for example, and He walked right out again, you'll hear all the crowd clapping and cheering, yay, and all that kind of stuff. And as marvelous that is, what is far more important is that on an everyday basis, you carry that, yay, inside you. Jesus is alive. Because Jesus is alive is not a historical event merely. It is the announcement that the will of God is now possible in your life. The will of God can unfold in even your life. Because what secures that will being done is Jesus. And He's alive. He's alive. He didn't just die, okay? We did need someone to die for our sins, no question, but He's alive. And because He is alive and we've been hidden inside Him, we can be living. We can live, right? So really the goal of all that we're working with is to learn how to continually carry within us that, yeah, God is alive. You know, it is particularly necessary in difficult situations where everything is so messed up, either in your own life or in somebody else's life. Because the situation wants to tell you this is dead end. But what Jesus says is, I have taken death upon myself and I am alive. There is no dead end for the person who believes in me. And that's what we need to be stirred up with. Okay? Before I get too far ahead of myself, let's read from those portions of Scripture. We're going to read from... You know, let me read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 because it's on my phone. I forgot my Bible. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He may or may not. Oh, okay. Is it easier for you if I just. No, you have to learn how to use that thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which we're going to start reading in. The whole thing is a long dialogue. I'm just wondering where is the best place to jump into it. Let's start in verse 6. In verse 6, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he's talking to them about the power of God, that what God has done is not merely something to philosophize about, right? And he says, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Okay? And then Ephesians chapter 5, please. Verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Okay, we're talking about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, very quickly, just for a background, everything that God wants to do for a person begins with them responding to the gospel concerning Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That is the only door into the things that God wants to do for a person. If you don't go through that door, believing in Jesus, then everything waits. Now, I don't mean that God dismisses you, God doesn't care about you. You know, the scriptures say that he gives rain to the wicked and the righteous. And in that verse that I just quoted, we understand that God loves even those who will completely reject him. Okay? But it doesn't change the fact that though God loves you, the things that God wants are not going to work out in your life until you go through the door that he says is the only way you can come into these things, by believing in Jesus. Okay? What happens? Well, then you no longer perish, but you have eternal life. When you believe into Jesus, things happen that are beyond our physical ability to perceive, but nevertheless, they are very real. We who were dead are all of a sudden made alive in Jesus. We who were dead, it's like God hides us in Jesus, and what happened to Jesus happens to us. We died with him on the cross. We're raised up into the newness of life, just as Jesus was. And our baptism in water is our embracing of that reality. Okay? But what has happened? For you to be alive, the Spirit of God has now come to dwell in you. Otherwise, you can't be alive, right? Again, my favorite analogy that describes this. We can buy nice flowers from the flower store and have them in our vase, and they look beautiful. They look radiant. But because they've been disconnected from the source of their life, eventually they will physically wither away, right? That is the situation of all mankind. In the garden, what we're shown is that because of sin, we were separated from him who is life, God. So that was the source of every problem. that we were separated from him was like, okay, Adam didn't just fall down dead right there, but just like the flower withers away and dies, so we wither away and die. And that's why we physically die, right? So for you to be alive, what it means is that you've been reconnected. If we could somehow take the flowers and plug them back into the roots that gave them their nutrition and their nutrients, then they would be alive again. Okay, obviously we can't do that. But it is an analogy, but that's what God did to us. We were reconnected to him who is life. That required our sins to be forgiven, because what kept us away from that was God not being able to connect with somebody who has sin. So Jesus had to pay the price of our disobedience, our sins, they were all put upon him, right? And because of it, we have been forgiven forevermore. Forevermore. You cannot be more forgiven. The moment you believe into Jesus, you cannot be more forgiven 15 years down the road than you were at that point. You may enjoy his forgiveness much more 15 years down the road, but the moment you said yes to the Lord and asked him to save you, all your sins were put upon him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has they been put away from you. God does not treat you as somebody who is not forgiven. He treats you as a son or a daughter. Okay? So the moment you believe in Jesus, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within you. Okay? But then we're given instruction about be filled with the Spirit. Okay? And we have taken quite a bit of time up to now to slowly build the case that there is a second experience, clearly. You know, I guess in some ways, it's most easy to illustrate this with Jesus' own life. Okay? Jesus, the begotten Son of God, was never separated from God until the cross. Right? So that means from the moment that he was born to that moment on the cross when he cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" He was always in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He can't be who he is apart from that. Right? Would you not agree? He is God. How can he be distinct or separate from Holy Spirit his whole life? Of John the Baptist, it was prophesied, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. It doesn't say that about Jesus. It didn't make any sense because he is God. He is God. He was always in union with Holy Spirit. Okay? And yet, before he started his ministry, he gets baptized in water by John the Baptist. And the thing that happens right away is a dove comes down. And John said, "This is the Holy Spirit coming down, and it rested on Jesus and did not depart." Okay? Now, isn't that strange? The one in whom the Spirit of God dwells, who was joined to him more intimately than we can possibly imagine, still had this experience of the Holy Spirit coming down to dwell on him. And we see in the book of Acts as it plays out that the brethren had this experience of being alive because of the Spirit and yet the Holy Spirit filling them, coming upon them. And all sorts of things happened in that case. In as much as it is the case that, you know, tongues of fire came down. In as much as it was that they were all speaking in languages that everybody else was saying, like, what is going on here? And it became the opportunity for Peter to stand up and say and then preach about Jesus, and so many were saved. In as much as that was the case, the far more significant thing was how it changed the disciples, Peter and every one of them. That's the far more significant thing. Holy Spirit coming upon them enabled them to minister. Jesus did not begin his ministry until after Holy Spirit had come upon him. And as an aside, the first thing that Holy Spirit does, leads him into the wilderness. Wait a second. What kind of ministry of the Holy Spirit is that? But that's what happens. Okay? So, I don't know many of your backgrounds. I know a little bit about you, but I don't know everything about you, obviously. Depending on your church background, you know, there are churches who believe that after being born again, there is this second experience where somebody lays hands on you and the Holy Spirit comes down upon you, and at the very least, you begin to speak in tongues. Now, I personally completely agree with that. Okay? And I want to set this before you. Everything I'm saying to you, I want you to double check. Okay? I want you to be like the Bereans and go and see, hey, is that really in the scriptures? Is that really the case? I'm giving to you what I have seen and what I believe the Holy Spirit has stirred me to share with you. But I do not expect you to accept it just because I said it to you. Who am I? At the end of the day, right? We get into danger when something is true because of the person who said it, the minister who said it. We get into dangerous places. It is much more important for us to actually pursue the Lord in what has been given to us and say, is this the case? Okay? So, Jesus, Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus in a very real way enabled his ministry, even though he had the Holy Spirit within them. The Holy Spirit coming down on the day of Pentecost upon the disciples enabled a ministry that went far beyond anything that they thought. Because remember, before this, what are they doing? They're hiding in the house, in the room upstairs, praying. All good, fine, great. They're concerned about administrative matters, who's going to take Judas's place and all that kind of stuff. Then Holy Spirit comes, exactly as Jesus promised, and everything changes. Everything changes. You find, if you read the book of Acts, you find all of a sudden these guys have a confidence that wasn't there before. It was like the unleashing of something. Okay? And I want you to think about the baptism in the Holy Spirit very much as an unleashing of something. Okay? I apologize for the lack of my vocabulary. But what I do not want you to think is that's when Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. If you're born again, you are born again by the Spirit. But yet there is yet another experience in which he is unleashed. Okay? And that often happens by the laying on of hands. And if you do not know what I'm talking about, please come and see me afterwards. I'll gladly pray with you. Okay, and work through all that happens. But far more significant is that he enables you for things that go beyond what a natural-minded man would think about. Okay? You know, it is a good thing. It is a good thing to feed the poor. It is the heart of God when we do things like that. It is a good thing to build orphanages. It is a good thing to send missionaries out to proclaim the gospel. These are marvelous things. I'd just like to say, though, that those are things that even people who haven't believed in Jesus can do. Okay, the food bank is not a Christian organization, for example, even though I'm sure there are Christians involved. And you understand, I'm not poo-pooing it. It's a necessary thing. All I want to say is, you don't need Holy Spirit for that which even well-intentioned people who don't believe in Jesus can do. He hasn't come for that. He's come to take you to a different place in terms of what is possible. Okay? But even more than that, he has come to take you on an adventure, a personal adventure. Okay? Norman's playing that song, Saddle Up Your Horses, from Stephen Curtis Chapman. Okay? And he was putting it in terms of our camping, but I'd like to suggest that is a description of your life. If you look in the scriptures, it is not hard to demonstrate that the whole purpose of what Jesus came to accomplish on the cross was so that you could be filled with the Holy Spirit and live a life of friendship with him. Every day of your life is supposed to be an adventure with him. Now, I'm talking grand words that need to then be practically worked out. I don't question that. But I do want to set the stage. When we talk about being filled with the Spirit, we're talking about what normal Christian life is. Okay? We're talking about what is supposed to be normal for us. Now, yes, I know that churches have all sorts of doctrines about it. But I ask you to take what I've said and check the scriptures out for yourself. Okay? I asked you last week, I don't know how many people did it, to think about what does it mean to you when you hear the phrase be filled with the Spirit, okay? As a context, okay, I know that some of us have a Pentecostal background, so being filled with the Spirit has a certain look to it. You may or may not have that, but you also know that the scriptures from the beginning of Acts all the way through, they keep talking about, and they were filled with the Spirit, and they were filled with the Spirit, and they were filled with the Spirit. And it's not hard, again, to make the case that they could do what they did in hostile ground because they were filled with the Spirit. Okay? As Acts unfolds, you find that phrase less and less, but you find the effect of being filled continually there, right? Of Paul, it says, you know how the book of Acts is, like the first half is what happens from Pentecost onwards in the Jerusalem church, but the second half of Acts is what Paul does, right? Off he goes. And apart from when Ananias comes to pray for him, that the scale on his eyes would be pulled down, and that he would receive the Holy Spirit, you never hear the phrase, and Paul was filled with the Spirit. But clearly he was. Clearly he was. Okay? And as another interesting thing, just as an aside, how many verses are there in the Scriptures about be filled with the Spirit and how to do it? Do you know in the Newer Testament? One. Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul writes, do not get drunk with wine, that's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So even though there's only one, what I'm trying to get across to you, this is implicit in the writings of the Newer Testament, is this thought. This only works if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. So get filled. Be filled. Be filled. That does not mean have an experience when you were in a meeting sometime, but something that is ongoing. Something that is ongoing. So I asked the people who were here last week, I'd like you to be able to share with us, if you're willing, what is the picture you have about being filled with the Spirit? I'm not asking for the right doctrinal description. Okay? I'm not asking you to pull out your teaching and say, and thus we know. You hear the phrase, be filled with the Spirit, what goes through your head? Okay? Is there anybody willing to share? Okay, well, I'll share. Okay, so honestly, again, because of my background, whenever I would have heard that phrase before, I always thought of, well, there's some meeting going on and some fireworks. And until the fireworks happen, I'm not filled with the Spirit. Okay? And I want to state, in my talking with you about these things, I am not trying to put down anybody's experience of how that works out. Okay? We have genuine brethren who, if people don't fall down laughing, then the Holy Spirit wasn't really there. Okay? Now, I don't quite see that as the limit of what it means to be filled with the Spirit, but I can't deny it, and I don't want any one of us to deny it. Do you really want to say to the Lord, you can do anything except this to me? I don't want to say that to him. Okay? I'm telling you what you're allowed to do. Do not make me look like a fool. Do not make me look like a fool. You know, we end up looking like a fool for more reasons other than because I followed God. And looking like a fool because you followed God overwhelms all the other ways I can be foolish. You know, so don't be afraid of being looking like a fool because of something God does. But leave that aside. I just want to make my case that I'm not trying to criticize anybody, but I do want us to press in to what has been made available to us. Okay? Now, what is the problem with being filled with the Spirit being limited to an experience in a service? You don't live in a service. Sunday morning ends. In like 4 minutes, I'm going to end my dialogue with you. And then you have coffee or cake, and then you get on with your afternoon, and then Monday morning comes. You need to be filled with the Spirit for Monday morning. So what do? Call up the church and have another service? And then bring the service with you to work? That doesn't make any sense, does it? It doesn't make any sense. Oftentimes, and I don't want to dismiss this, sometimes what God does for us in an experience is to remind us that we are part of something that goes beyond the natural. It is necessary. We are not just limited to what we can figure out, what we can do, what we can say hallelujah to. There are supernatural things that we've been called into. But far more significant, again, is the power of the Holy Spirit to help you live your life at a level that goes beyond just what somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus lives. Okay? So let me direct your attention then to what we read in 1 Corinthians. Okay, you know that I'll come back to Ephesians in a few minutes. 1 Corinthians, what does it say? Now listen, God has prepared things for you who believe that just go beyond your ability to figure out on your own. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1, he starts off by giving you all these things that are just true. And then he says, and so I keep asking that the Lord would enlighten your eyes, because you are not going to get this if God doesn't help you. We are called to a standard of living that is not possible apart from Holy Spirit. So much so that God has to open our eyes to see it and say, I want it. And this is what 1 Corinthians is talking about. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has not entered the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. And then he says, but you know what? The Holy Spirit has come to bring you into it, to make you to know it, and to move in it. In fact, you have the mind of Christ. Okay? So what does that mean? Do I automatically think like Jesus does about my circumstances? Clearly, I do not. Well, when I say clearly, I'm not trying to put myself down. I'm confessing to you, I do not always think about how Jesus thinks about any circumstance. You know, Jesus sees somebody die, what is his thought? Oh, well, what are you going to do? You know, they're passing by on somewhere else. There's a funeral going on for a child who's died. So what does Jesus do? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. What does he do? But more importantly, why does he do it? He did not think about this child dying the way we might think about it. He saw no issue here. Raised them from the dead. Now, over us is written, and greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. So, at the very least, it means that what Jesus did, it's possible for me to do. But I have to have his mind. I have to operate in the way that he thinks about something. Isn't it the case that when you hear somebody die, pretty much, okay, apart from our theology kicking in, pretty much we think, that's the end. So it takes someone who knows the heart of God to unfold it and bring us into, but God thinks about this. Now leave the raising of the dead aside, okay? Though I want to say, that must be possible. It must be possible by what the scriptures say, okay? I don't mean it must be possible for some famous preacher to do it. It must be possible for you if you've believed into the Lord. But let's take steps. Let's take little steps, okay? What I'm trying to get at is, what Holy Spirit has come to do is to give you a way of thinking about things that comes from God so that you act in it, so that you move. So somebody falls down at the store in front of you. If you're filled with the Spirit, you think, I can do something about that. Beyond, I need to call the hospital, right? I can lay my hands on them. Somebody starts manifesting a demon. The answer is not, call the pastor. The answer is, yeah, but the Holy Spirit dwells in me. Okay? So I thought of being filled with the Spirit. I hope you'll be willing to, at the very least, think through it yourself. So what do I mean when I say be filled with the Spirit? I certainly had in my mind fireworks. No question. But I now see it can't just be fireworks. Or at least it's fireworks on the inside. A different way of perceiving, of judging. You know that in Romans chapter 12, it says we need to be transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. That means to me that we begin to think with the mind of Christ that has been granted to us. It's also worth recognizing I'm not always like that. I'm not always like that. That is not a criticism. It is just worth remembering we who dwell in this place, it's very easy for us to be filled with the opinion of the world. I don't mean you listen to some bad news program. I mean, when sickness comes upon you, this world tells you what to think about it. When some difficult, impossible thing happens, it's not hard to just start thinking, well, that one's gone. It's dealt with. The pressure of this place is to keep you just thinking in terms of the natural. And when we are told, be filled with the Spirit, he's telling us to do something to come out of just the mundane and start thinking like God does. be a vehicle through which the Holy Spirit can flow, because he will not overpower you. He will not overrule you. And what does Ephesians chapter 5 tell us about how to be filled with the Spirit? Speak to yourselves, to one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Okay? Now, do you understand? The setting here is a person who God likes, who God has redeemed, not a person who, I told them to be filled with the Spirit and they're walking around just full of themselves. Okay? Very clearly, be filled with the Spirit is something that we need to continually be doing. It doesn't just automatically happen to us. And that is one of the concerns I have about thinking about being filled with the Spirit only in the context of a special meeting going on where stuff happens. You don't perceive that there is something you need to be doing on a regular basis to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? To be filled. So, again, do you understand? I'm not criticizing anybody for the way their day starts, but rather reminding you of an instruction. Here's how you need to deal with this. Be filled. How? Speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Okay? So I want to end our time by doing that. Okay? I'm going to ask all of you to stand. And we're just going to, don't stand yet. I'm going to ask you to stand. You don't have to stand if you can't stand, but I invite you to stand. Okay? And we're just going to close our eyes, and we're just going to start speaking from the Psalms. Do you understand? If you want, you can take your Bible and read a Psalm out. But I think, I'm making assumptions because I don't know all of you, but you probably can remember something from the Psalms. Okay, why the Psalms? Well, A, he told us to do that, Ephesians, right? B, the Psalms are this wonderful collection of people at every kind of situation and circumstance in terms of what's going on inside their heart. Everything from, why have you forsaken me, to the Lord is my light and my salvation. Okay? So you can find yourself in the Psalms. Yes, the Psalms have a prophetic component to it. Not everything in the Psalm applies to you. Okay? So in the Psalms it says, for example, that he will give his angels charge over you to watch you lest you strike your foot against a stone. Well, if you've struck your foot against a stone, I guess that psalm doesn't apply for me anymore. That's not how to think about it, but rather it's giving us, here's what God thinks about you and what is possible for you, and you just got to be filled with that. And so we speak. We say things like, I bless the Lord. I will remember your benefits. I just give thanks to you for your mercy, for your kindnesses to me. Okay? So I want to finish this time just by asking you to stand with me, and I just want you to do what you know to do. If you do speak in tongues, I invite you to do so. If you don't speak in tongues, don't feel out of place. Okay? This is for every one of us. The point here is, okay, I got my thoughts, I have my ideas, but I actually need him. I need his ideas and his thoughts to just fill me. We only have a few minutes here to do this, and I'm going to ask you just to do it. Okay? If you have no idea, just step out with me. Okay? As I said to you, what you've actually been brought into is an adventure where step by step you're asked to step out in the Holy Spirit a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more so that he can unfold to you the wonder of God loving you, the wonder of God caring about you and what's happening in your life and the situations that you are having to deal with. He has never had it in his heart that you would deal with those things on your own. Never. He wants you to live as you've been made to live, joined to him, it flowing out from him. So do you understand what I'm asking you to do? Okay, let's just remind one another. Tell me something from the Psalms that you could say in an idea of I want to be filled with your thought about me, about my circumstances. Somebody remind us of something from the Psalms, just to help somebody who might not remember? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Have you ever felt in a situation where everything is going wrong? Well, there's a good one to pull out. Okay, what else? What else would you say? Hallelujah. Goodness and loving kindness or mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23. Anything else? Anybody else? Like the eagle. Now, do you see that? Why does this feel awkward? Why does this feel weird? Okay? We're not going to impress God. I don't got to impress you, right? Because you already know what I'm like anyway. I'm going to somehow impress you suddenly? Why does this feel awkward? We're just out of practice. Nothing more than that. Nothing more than that. But this is a practice we need to cultivate. You know, there can be times in your day when you're just so drained because of everything that's been demanded of you and you're just tired. What do you need to do? Get filled with the Spirit. Or do what Paul has said. The implication there is that you can, you know, keep going until, do as much as you need to be refreshed in the Spirit and say, ah, but you are my light and my salvation. You are the Lord and I will bless you. If you can't think of anything to say, just say, thank you, Lord. Okay? Okay, so does everybody understand what I'm asking you to do? Kind of? Okay, anybody uncomfortable? Because there's no need to be uncomfortable. There's no need to be uncomfortable. Am I asking you to do something weird like come up here and prophesy? No. I'm asking you simply to declare the excellencies of God as you recall it from the Psalms. And, you know, when we say that, make the Psalms personal. You are my light and my salvation. You will never abandon me or forsake me. You lead me in your righteousness. For your name's sake, I don't deserve it, but nevertheless, because you've attached your name to me, you lead me in. You are more than enough for everything I face. Okay? So, if you can, please stand. Close your eyes so you're not, and nobody else has to feel awkward about it. You don't have to stand. I'm not making you stand, but I do want you to get involved with it. Father, you said in your word that we can be filled with your Spirit, and we want more than just being those who could be filled with your Spirit. We want everything that you've made possible. I thank you that you are so kind and so merciful and so gentle with us. As you said, Lord, Jesus did not extinguish a smoldering wick and a bruised reed he did not break, and so you are with us. So I just ask for help for every one of us to take another step in what it means to be filled with your Spirit. We just want to start by declaring that you are worthy of our praise and you are just so good. Okay, so from your mouth, just say, yes, you are. You are good. You are good. You are good, Father. You are so good to us. You have been kind and merciful and patient with us. Father, you have not dealt with me according to my sins. As far as the east is from the west, so far have you put my transgressions from me. I could never deserve that. And yet you accomplished it, Lord Jesus. I just thank you that you are my light and my salvation. You are the strength of my life. You make a way where there is no way. And you lead me in your righteousness for your namesake. I am just so thankful that you have taken me for yourself and that you put your Spirit within me and you lead me into the truth. And I just thank you, Father, for it. I just thank you, Father, for it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Even if evildoers were to come upon me, you rescue me. You rescue me. You are my salvation, and I just bless your name. I just bless your name. We just give thanks and praise to you, Father, for the goodness of the Lord, for the kindness of the Lord. Oh, Father, you are more than enough for everything we have to deal with. And I just thank you. You are more than enough for every single one of us. Whatever may be the thing that needs to be dealt with first in our life today and then tomorrow, you are more than enough for it. Your loving kindness and your mercy, they are from everlasting to everlasting. And we just thank you, Father, for it. Oh, hallelujah. You have made us temples of your Holy Spirit. And so we have more than enough. And I just ask you to help each one of us to learn to take hold of it more, Father. We just bless your name. We just bless your name. Hallelujah, Lord. We just bless your name. We say yes to you, Father. I ask for help that you would help each one of us. Stir us with courage to take another step into the unknown of the Holy Spirit with you, that we might know. All these things you've prepared for us, lead us into them, Father. And not just for us. I ask you to help us to be so effective in being filled with the Spirit that we can help those around us who have no place to do anything before you, Father. We want them to be helped. We want them to be strengthened. We want them to meet with you through us. And so we just ask you for help, Father. As these days unfold, I thank you that your Spirit is more than enough for it. As these days unfold, I thank you that your Spirit and your provision is more than enough for each one of us. We just bless your name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, any comments? Was that weird? Okay. If it was weird, okay, fine. I'm not criticizing you. I'm not putting you down. I remind you, I'm more of an expert at messing things up than any one of you here. And yet he's dealt kindly with me. I can remember times when all of this would be weird. But it need not be. It should not be weird. Is it really a weird thing to say God is good? God is worthy? No. Okay. But we're not necessarily practiced. There are things that we are awkward in doing because we're not practiced. That's all. But I ask you to make it your practice. So this week, make a point at some point in time in your day just to take a moment away and just bless the Lord, okay, as you understand it, as you understand how to do it. Just take a step with him. You will find, this is my opinion, but I think you will find it validated. You take a small step towards the Lord, he takes a big step with you. You're only asked in him to give what you have, not what you should have, ought to have, wish you had, what you do have. So if you can at least take 30 seconds to say, take the Psalms if you need to, open it up and say, I remember your benefits, your loving kindnesses. I just remember them and bless them. Please do that, okay? Just take that little step, okay? And as I said, if you do not know what I'm talking about speaking in tongues, come and talk with me. I'm not gonna make you do anything. But I am going to talk with you and tell you, this is available to you. One of the things that's necessary for everything of God to work out is that we've got to want it. Remember, he's after winning your heart, not forcing you. He really is. And these things should be normal and just practical for every one of us. Whether we're Pentecostal or charismatic or whatever, those things are secondary. This is just life in God, right? He's never designed you to live your life apart from him. So we're just learning how that works out, okay? Okay, God bless you. May the Lord pursue us with these things and capture us and win us over to his side. And may he open the way for wonders to be worked at your hands. In Jesus' name, okay?
Please sign up if you want to come.
Camp.
Somebody's going to get turned away and I don't want it to be you.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Please do, okay? And coffee and goodies will be out. It's an opportunity to fellowship and just encourage one another. We'll look forward to our next time together.